We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Would you take God's Word, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 10, and in just a moment we're going to begin reading in verse 8. And we're going to be reading primarily from Genesis chapter 10 and chapter 11. You say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of Christ? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out, because this scripture is of great prophetic significance. You know, the Bible is not merely up to date. It's centuries ahead of time. And it tells us back here in the dawn of civilization what is going to transpire and what is going to take place. Now, what we're going to study today is the story of a colossal and an amazing building project. As a matter of fact, this is Satan's civic masterpiece. It was a high-rise, but it was a high-rise to hell. What it was a center of world religion and world government. It has great, great prophetic significance for you. If you want to know what's going on, lay down your newspaper, pick up your Bible. Now look, if you will, in verse 8, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, whereof it is said," here's a proverb, "even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." Now, just underscore that. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, let's go to chapter 11. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 11. "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." Literally, "whose top unto heaven may reach" is supplied by the translator. "And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." Now what you have here is a history and a prophecy, because Genesis is the seedbed of all Bible prophecy. And these stories literally happen, but God records them in the Bible because they are a preview and a prefiguring of what is to come. And you'll see very clearly that this man Nimrod is a picture of the beast who is going to come, the Antichrist who is going to come, and this city that was built, Babel, which was really Babylon, as we will see, is the cradle and the grave of all false religion. There are two great cities in the Bible. One is Jerusalem and one is Babylon. Jerusalem is the holy city. Babylon is the hellish city. There are two great leaders in the world, Christ and Antichrist. And there is a battle between Babylon and Jerusalem, Christ and Antichrist. And folks, we're right in the middle of it, and we dare not be ignorant. Now, I want you to see the coming kingdom of Satan, and I want you to see the coming kingdom of Christ. First of all, I introduce you to someone that I want to call the Babylonian beast. The Babylonian beast. Go back now to chapter 10, and here's a man named Nimrod. Look, if you will, in verse 8. "And Cush begat Nimrod." Now, these are people that actually lived back in the dawn of civilization. A man named Cush had a son, and he named his son Nimrod. Do you know what the name Nimrod literally means? It means, let us rebel. This man was a rebel by birth. Let us rebel. Now look again, if you will, and it says here, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Do you see that in verse 9? A mighty hunter before the Lord. That doesn't mean that God just merely saw him do it. But it means that he was in the face of God, as we would say today, in your face. That's what he's saying to God. He's not a hunter of animals, not a hunter of deer and antelope. He's a hunter of the souls of men, and he is a rebel against Almighty God. It speaks of his arrogance. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and I want you to see how there is coming another Nimrod in the last days, in the days in which I believe we're living. And the Apostle Paul is speaking of the coming kingdom of Christ. And he says concerning the coming kingdom of Christ, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that is, the day of the Lord, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The word falling away is the word we get our word apostasy from. There's coming an apostasy first, and the man of sin be revealed. Now, Jesus is the man of sorrows. The Antichrist is the man of sin. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Jesus is the Son of God. But there's coming an apostasy. There is coming a man of sin. He is the son of perdition, which means unmitigated wickedness. And now let's see what this man of sin is going to be. Notice in verse 4, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It's one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now learn what the word Antichrist means. Anti means against, and it also means instead of. The Antichrist will be against the true Christ. He will present himself instead of the true Christ. It's very important that you understand this. The word anti means against, and it means instead of. Who opposeth, that is against. And who exalteth himself, that is instead of. This man of sin who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so here is a rebel against the true God way back in Genesis. He is a hunter of souls in the face of God. Now, notice not only his arrogance, but I want you to notice his abilities. You're back in Genesis chapter 10 now, and look in verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Underscore the word mighty. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Notice back up in verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one. Mighty in verse 8, and mighty twice in verse 9. He is called mighty, mighty, mighty. Now, our Lord is holy, holy, holy. But this man is called mighty. Three times it is mentioned by divine inspiration that this rebel in the face of God, this Nimrod, this founder of Babel, the cradle of all false religion, is called mighty, mighty, mighty. Now, with that in mind, again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, where the man of sin, the lawless one, the son of perdition is mentioned. Notice how he is described. Notice his might. It speaks of this man, and it says, even him, that is the man of sin, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Get ready. There is coming to this earth such devilish deception. Jesus said it will be so strong, if it were possible, Satan would deceive the very elect. Don't you think that your intellect would keep you from being deceived? Don't you think that your good intentions keep you from being deceived? Only the Holy Spirit of God will help you to see clearly and straightly in these days in which we live. Satan is coming. He is going to take a man and put into that man such incredible power. He will be Satan in human flesh as Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. Listen to that verse. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You say, well, I saw it. It must be true. It must be true. And you will be deceived if you do not have a spiritual anchor. You see this man Nimrod, the first thing you see about him is his arrogance. The second thing you see about him is his ability. And here's the third thing I want you to see about him, his ambition. Look, if you will, in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. This is the first man who ever said, I'm going to be a king. The beginning of his kingdom. He didn't just want to build a city. He was not just an entrepreneur trying to build a high rise. This was the beginning of his kingdom. He wanted to rule. Now remember what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says of the coming Antichrist. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Learn this about the devil. The devil is not against religion. He uses religion. The temptation in the Garden of Eden was not for Adam and Eve to fall down. It was to fall up. He said, you can be like God. You be like God. Satan has always wanted to be like God. He always puts that into the hearts and minds of people. As a matter of fact, all of New Age religion is based upon the lie there in Genesis chapter 3. You can be like God. You are your own God. And here was a man, Nimrod, who said, I want to be worshiped like God. I'm going to exalt myself above God. It's the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit that's in this world today that speaks of the so-called divinity in man. Learn this about Satan. Satan does not want casualties. He wants converts. Satan wants worship. So, you see this Babylonian beast, Nimrod. The evolutionists said, we have come from the beast. They've got it backward. Friend, we're headed toward the beast. I mean, there is coming. There's lurking in the shadows of this world a beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who is Satan's Superman. He may be alive on planet Earth right now. Now, move to the second thing. Not only the Babylonian beast, but I want you to notice the Babylonian builders. These people who said, we're going to build this city. Begin in verse 11 and notice some things, verse 1. First of all, notice what I'm going to call their disobedience. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now what they did was to say, we're going to centralize power. Now God had told them to replenish the earth. If you go back to Genesis chapter 9 after the flood, look in Genesis 9 verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God did not tell them to gather up in one place. God's plan was not for a centralized one world government, but this is what they wanted to do. They were looking for somehow to centralize and consolidate the governments of this world. A one world government is what Satan is after. We're headed toward a one world government. A new world order, it's being called today, and a new world order, a one world government will be a disaster. Why? Because that one world government will be headed up by someone. Power corrupts. Total power totally corrupts. All the liberals today and all of the humanists today, they all have a running romance with big government. Have you noticed that? They all believe in big government. You see, they have failed to understand that freedom is always in direct reverse proportion to the size and the power of government. The more government, the less freedom. There's coming an enforcer in this world one of these days that's going to turn this world into a worldwide system, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Antichrist. Now, many of today's liberals are one-worlders first. They are Americans second. Now, this is not by chance. This is well thought out. Have you ever heard of the humanists? Do you know who the humanists are? Now, don't get the word humanist and humanitarianism confused. The humanists are a small cadre of highly intellectual and highly motivated persons who are steering this world toward a one-world government. And many of our national and international leaders are avowed card-carrying humanists. The Humanist magazine said back as far as 1966 this, quote, "Internationally, what do the humanists propose? Nationalism, rooted as it is in arbitrary geographical units, must be superseded by a globalism based on the oneness of man. There must be a worldwide organization to which national sovereignty could be relinquished in all international affairs." That is, give up America as a sovereign nation and be a part of a world nation. Let our boys fight under the banner of the UN, no longer under the command of American commanders. We're coming to this one world government. An editorial in the Humanist said this, quote, "If there is one principle upon which all humanists are united, it is the continued commitment to a world order based upon world law." So what we have to do is lay down our arms, set aside our laws, let people go over to Beijing, China, and other places and tell us how we're going to raise our children, how we're going to have families, what we're going to do, put our troops under the control of somebody or something else, and join up with atheists, bandits, cutthroats, and murderers, and all of the rest of it, and have a global village. Now, folks, it is coming. It is coming everywhere. Monetarily, it is coming. Organizationally, it is coming. Militarily, it is coming. Philosophically, it is coming. It roots back in the same thing that motivated old Nimrod so long ago. I wish I had more time to talk about that. But notice their disobedience and notice their depravity. Look in verses 3 and 4. "And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth." That's exactly what God said to do, be scattered, replenish the earth. But they said, we're not going to do this. Now, what you have here is the beginning of all organized forms of false religion and apostasy. They said, let us build a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. If you have the King James Version, like I'm reading from, you notice the words "may reach" or italicized. That is, they're not in the original, only supplied there by the translator to make it read more smoothly. In this case, it doesn't make it read more smoothly. What it literally says is, we're going to build a tower whose top unto heaven. It was a place for worship. They would go up on top of these towers to worship their false god. It was dedicated to the worship of the stars. This is the beginning of astrology. Zodiacs have been found on top of these ancient ziggurats. That's what these towers were called in Babylon, where they there worship the stars. The very name of the place, Babel, means gate to God. El is the Hebrew word for God. For example, Bethel means the house of God. Israel means prince of God. Emmanuel means God with us. Babel was the gate to God. They said, this is the gate to God. We're going to show people how to get to God. Of course, we know that there's only one gate to God, and His name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But here is New Age religion. Learn this about New Age religion, folks. It ain't new. It's one of the mustiest things around. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan first came, and we have a world today that is getting ready for the coming kingdom of Antichrist, and the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Now, this was the beginning of astrology. Are you so foolish as to pick up your newspaper and read the astrological comments concerning you, so they say? You, my friend, are practicing witchcraft when you do that. Listen to me. I say, listen to me. Astrology is idolatry. The word astrologos means astrology. Astra is a star. Logos is the word. It's the word of the stars. That's why they call it astrology. You have substituted the word of the stars for the word of God. Rather than getting into the Bible, you've gotten into New Age religion. The purpose of the stars is to declare the glory of God, not the destiny of man. Isaiah chapter 47, God is speaking about Babylon and Babylonian religion. Isaiah 47, verses 12 through 15, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries. Now what he's doing here, let me say this. He's showing Babylon that all of her New Age religion will not save her. This is a challenge that God has given to Babylon that had its inception here at Babel. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. That is way back to the Tower of Babel you've been doing this. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Now, what is God saying? God is saying these things are wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 18, God knew of the abomination of the Canaanites. God knew of all this New Age garbage that was not new way back in that time. And this is what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 and following. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Now notice God calls it a national abomination. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. That is, they were murdering their babies. Sound familiar? Or he that useth divination. That is, they were going to fortune tellers. Or an observer of times. That, friend, is astrology. Or an enchanter or a witch. That's a channeler. That's all New Age religion, an enchanter, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, that is, contact with the dead. For listen in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Actually, the seedbed of all satanic, demonic religion, all false religion, is found in Babylon. It's the seedbed of all of it. Babylon is the mother of all false religion. Out of that area comes all filthiness of false religion, mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Doesn't mean he thought she was wonderful. He says, I just stood back and I could not take it in. You talk about a classic story of Beauty and the Beast. Here is the Babylonian mother and the Babylonian monster. The Babylonian mother is false religion. The Babylonian monster is the beast. And they come together. Now, she looks outwardly, she's beautiful. But beneath her smiles is a heart that is wicked, unspeakably wicked. Her hands drip with blood. And her intoxicating wine has been brewing for 6,000 years. Well, go back to Genesis chapter 11. We've talked about their disobedience. We've talked about their depravity. I want you to see their defiance. Look, if you will, again in verses 3 and 4. And they said one to another. Now, folks, I want to remind you, listen, we're not just talking about ancient history. We're talking about what is happening in our world today. This is history and prophecy at the same time. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Now, I want you to notice the personal pronouns there. Six times they use pronouns like they, us, and we. Six is the number of man. This is religion with man at the center and man in the circumference. That is humanism and New Ageism. Rather than saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, they're saying, Our brothers who are on the earth, hallowed be our name. Let us make for us a name. Now, they're in sheer defiance against God. You see, these are the Babylonian builders who are trying to make for themselves a name. And so what they do is they pool their ignorance, as we're going to see. We've talked about the Babylonian beast and the Babylonian builders. Let's talk about the Babylonian blunder. What is their blunder? Well, look again, if you will, in verse 4. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name. And go back to verse 3. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Now, when God builds His church, does He build it of brick or stone? He builds it of stone. Stone is not handmade. The Bible says we're built up as living stones. But these people took mud, bricks, with their own hands, and they fashioned brick, and then they put that brick together with slime. And that oozed out of the ground there. And there in the plain of Shinar. And there they began to build this high-rise to hell, fashioned from their own wit, their own wisdom, their own ingenuity. What they do is they pool their wickedness and they pool their ignorance. They have dethroned God. They have enthroned their own intellect. Now, you say, well, that's them. Well, folks, we're still trying to do it with brick and slime. Only our slime and brick today are computers. We are traveling down the information superhighway, getting the idea that somehow we're going to build our utopia, and we have substituted our own wit and wisdom for God, and we're trying to build a golden age with minds and machinery and money, and it can't be done. Now, what were they trying to do? They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. What they're saying is this, we're going to start here and we're going to build toward heaven. Now, that is completely contradictory to all that God does. What is the difference between man-made religion, New Age religion, humanism, and the true salvation that comes from God? Man tries to build from earth to heaven. True salvation reaches down from heaven to man. That's the difference. You can just sum it all up in that. Whether it begins with man and builds toward heaven, or whether it begins in heaven and reaches down to man. You see, God, moved in mercy by the pitiful plight of sinful man, said, I will go down. And God became a man to lift us to heaven. And the Bible says we must be born again. Literally, that says in the Greek language, we must be born from above. Born from above. Now, the New Agers say man needs a boost from beneath. God says man needs a birth from above. Here was the Babylonian blunder. They just took their own wit, their own wisdom, their own words. They pooled their ignorance. They pooled their wickedness. They began to make brick and slime to build a tower. And folks, the world is full of that today. You would be amazed at how many people are New Agers who don't even know they're New Agers. As a matter of fact, these are not just stupid people or dumb people in the vernacular. It's an old lie, repackaged. It is human wit, human ingenuity. It is finding the God, the power within yourself, and it engenders an independence from Almighty God. Folks, it is here. It is with us. Now, I have talked to you about the Babylonian beast, and he pictures the Antichrist is going to come. I've talked to you about the Babylonian builders, how they, in defiance against God, are trying to build a new world order. And it is coming. One day it will be here. And this will be an amalgamation of the New World Order and a one world church. And everybody will say, isn't it wonderful? I've talked to you about the Babylonian blunder against the idea that man can lift himself by his own bootstraps and by his brick and slime build his tower to heaven. And in that he inculcates all false religion. Now I want you to see what I'm going to call the Babylonian burial. I want you to see what's going to happen to it. You say, Pastor, I thought you were talking about the coming kingdom of Christ. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. I want you to notice now, beginning in chapter 11 and verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know, the Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And friend, we're seeing it. We are amazed at what is happening, what comes out of the imagination of man. And we're being told today what man can imagine, man can achieve. And for the first time, we're really believing it. Well, God says in verse 7, go to, let us go down. Now, who's God talking to? This is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in counsel together. And God says, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. How did this tower of blunders end in Genesis? And what does it prophesy of what's going to happen in our day? Well, it ended with the coming down of Almighty God to earth. The thing that we're waiting for is the coming of the Savior. The only hope for this world is the coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ, the true Christ, comes, He is coming to destroy the kingdom of Antichrist. As I've told you before, 777 is going to deal with 666. And you can put it down and be certain there's coming a time when lawlessness comes to its climax, that in heaven God is going to say, it is time, let us go down. Now, not only the coming of the Savior, but the confusion of the speech. Notice again in verse 7, let us go down and there confound their language. Now, these people had one language at this time. They all spoke the same language. But God, always when He judges, sends confusion into the camp of the enemy. When God's people pray, even in this day, if we will pray, we don't have to go to war against the enemies. God goes to war against the enemies. When we pray, God sends confusion into the camp of the enemies. And so God confounds their speech. They can't understand one another. They're building this tower, and a man says, hand me a brick. He says, what did you say? He says, what did you say? What did you say? He says, what did you say? And the boss says, well, you two quit babbling. And they said, what did he say? And nobody understands anything. The whole thing begins to get confused, and it really would be comical. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. And we're going to see the false unity of the ecumenical movement and United Nations. And all of this is going to come apart. And then there's going to be the collapse of the whole system. And so the Bible says in verses 8 and 9, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. And there they sat in the crumbled ruins, the unfinished tower of their high rise to hell, their tower of blunders. Well, what does this mean to us? Go to Revelation chapter 18. There are three things I want to lay on your heart. The first, listen to me very carefully. The very first word is the word separation. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now here's God's word to you. Are you listening? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. If you're practicing any kind of the occult, any kind of New Age religion, any astrology, any dabbling with witchcraft, get out and get out quick. For God says concerning Babylon, her sins have reached unto heaven. She's going to bring a tower to heaven. God says it's her sins that have reached to heaven. And God hath remembered her iniquities. So the first thing I say to you is separation. Get out, get clean, repent, renounce, get rid of all of that. Second thing I want you to see is anticipation. And Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming soon. Look in chapter 19. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Friend, we need to anticipate the time the time is coming soon when our Lord is going to step down from glory, and God is going to come down, and He's going to judge Babylon. So there's separation, anticipation, and here's the part I love, jubilation. Look in chapter 19, verse 5, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were," oh, I love this, "the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Now, if you can't understand everything I've said today, and I don't think any of us understands all of this perfectly, just understand this, folks. There's only one way to God, only one gate to God, and it's not Babylon. It's Jesus. And understand this, that the devil's tower of blunders, his high rise to hell, his gate to God is really the door to disaster. And you need Jesus. You need to be saved. And in these days, if you don't get saved, Antichrist is going to come and you'll buy his lies, you'll take his mark, you'll take his brand, you'll be condemned and lost forever. These are days to get right with God.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment, but You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus, and help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.